The first presentation in the second session of this morning's Disease Council Committee is yields and response of full season flex cotton varieties to target spot in Alabama. Austin Hagen presenting on behalf of himself and his colleagues. You've got to advance with
you
this.
You get advanced with that.
Yep.
Oh, the space bar?
Yes.
Okay. I'm somewhat technologically challenged anyway. I might have a 15-year-old give the presentations from now on out. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about yield response and the reaction of cotton varieties to target spot. And we've had some presentations prior to mine on target spot. We got one right after this. But generally speaking for us, target spot is a disease of intensively managed cotton. It's not as earlier, I think it was Bob mentioned that, the dryland farmer making two bales where the middles don't lap, they're not at risk for real target spot issues. But we've got a fair acreage of cotton in the southern part of Alabama, Panhandle, Florida, Georgia, where the growers have a yield potential of 4 bales per acre. They're putting a lot of nitrogen on it. They're in an area that's either irrigated or gets a lot of rainfall in addition to the irrigation. And in that situation, a lot of things can go wrong. The progression of the disease, it's really rapid. You start out usually the middle to late July, you'll see the leaf spotting start to show up in the lower mid-canopy. These are very fresh lesions showing a little bit of a halo around them. They have a target spot or bullseye pattern to them. Very quickly, you see some leaves become chlorotic. Normally, we don't have that many lesions show up on the leaves before they begin the process of senescence, and they fall to the ground. And this is phytogen 499 probably, and you're looking at about 70% defoliation by the middle of September. So over, say, a 7 to 8 week period, you basically go from not a spot on the plant to a high level of defoliation. Originally, I was going to talk about several variety trials, but I decided when I saw the data that I had on this one, I just went ahead and stayed with this particular study. It's at the Bruton Ag Research Unit, which is about 45 miles northeast of Pensacola, Florida, and it's not that far from Jay, Florida. And basically, we consider Jay, Florida, to be the epicenter of target spot in the United States. This test was planted in the middle of May. It was a factorial with variety as the main and a fungicide program essentially to suppress disease as best we could as a subplot treatment because I was trying to get some idea of what type of yield loss we might be experiencing on some of these varieties that were screened. It's a small plot test, and I will say, when I questioned on a little earlier, we did not cut the alleys until the middle of September. So we flagged some borders between the plots where we could change over treatments, but there were no alleys cut until the end of the study. And I used headline at 9 fluid ounces plus some Bravo Ultrex, basically using the Bravo as a, we'll call, resistance management. There were 3 applications in this year, the 2nd, 4th, and 6th week of bloom, which is basically the 3rd week of July into the middle of August, and the study was picked on the 14th of October. And I used the Florida leaf spot rating scale on this. It's a 1-10 scale based on the level of leaf spotting or in the beginning of the rating scale and then defoliation from then on out. There were 6 rating dates with the idea of monitoring disease development over time. These rating scales were converted to a percent defoliation value using this equation, and then the area under disease progress curve was then calculated from the defoliation values. This is the rainfall and irrigation pattern in 2015 at this location. It was not a wet year, wet summer in Bruton. The orange bars here are irrigation events. We put out 1/2 inch of water 5 times in this particular study, and you can see there were some notable dry spells, particularly here and here during the course of the summer where it dried out a good bit. And these are the F values for the rating dates. So you had a significant variety in fungicide response as far as defoliation over most of the rating dates. Then you had a significant interaction between variety and fungicide, which basically indicates that you had a differential response to the fungicide inputs on the varying varieties. The interaction carried over onto the area under disease progress curl values. If you looked at bulb counts, there was no difference among varieties or the fungicide programs as far as bulb counts were concerned. There were differences in the numbers of lock bulbs between varieties, but the fungicide had no impact. Of course, one of the previous talks probably indicates why. When you looked at gen out, there were differences among varieties, but there was also at the 10% level a difference as far as the fungicide treatment. And then if you looked at lint yields, there was a variety effect as well as an influence of the fungicide program on lint yields. And this busy slide just illustrates the progress of disease on the 9 varieties that were included in this study. We group them by seed source, so you have Phytogen, Delta Pine, Fibromax, Stoneville. There's 499, 487, 575 for Phytogen, 1137, 1252, and 1538 Delta Pine, and then 1944 Fibromax, S6448, and 4946 Stonevilles. And you can see a sizable difference in the response of the varieties over time as far as defoliation with 499, this is 487, Fibromax, and the Stoneville 4946 had a pretty fair amount to premature defoliation by the final rating date. In contrast with most of the Delta Pines, which really didn't get much over 30% defoliation, observation is there was no difference in final defoliation between the fungicide and non-fungicide treated controls with 1137 and not much of a difference with the 1538. And as far as the AUDPC values, there was a reduction on all varieties except for Delta Pine 1137. There was a similar level of leaf shed regardless of treatment. It was in this test and another test that I had, it was kind of hard to rate the 1137. It kind of started shedding a few leaves, probably not due to disease in this particular study, so it was a little hard to look at and in another study at the same location. I mentioned before the open bulb counts, there were no differences among the treatments. Kind of a bit of a surprise. You'd expect to see some differences. Lock bulbs, the two varieties that had issues were Stoneville 6448 and then Phytogen 487. Otherwise, really not much of a difference in the numbers of lock bulbs among the remaining remaining varieties. You look at gen out, of course, these are small plots, and in this situation, you're probably going to have a little higher gen out values than you might in a large plot trial, but they were quite high for these two varieties, as well as Phytogen 499. Not much of a difference, again, among the remaining varieties, but all of them had very high gen out rates. If you look at lint yields, the winners are Delta Pine 1538, 1252, and 1944. All had similar yields. A little bit of a drop off with these varieties. And then the Stoneville 4946 yields were much lower than any of the other varieties in the test by probably about 200, 250 pounds of lint per acre. So it was not, certainly not as good as the other varieties. Now the fungicide effects, as I mentioned before, at the 10% level, you had an increase in gen out with the fungicide treatment. Hadn't seen that before. And over all the varieties, we had an 80 pound per acre increase in yield. Now, as I said, there wasn't an interaction here. We did see a significant yield bump, but just to get a little better idea of what is going on, I went ahead and segregated the treatments out by fungicide program and by variety. And the two varieties where we had a significant yield gain was Phytogen 499, and Fibromax 1944. So most of your yield benefits showed up on those two varieties as compared with a lot of the other ones. For example, here's 1137, basically the same yield for the two treatments, and there are actually a few of them where numerically the controls actually had higher yields in the fungicide-treated plots. And the Stoneville variety was pretty close to being significantly different, but did not make it. And this is just what some of the plots look like. With 499, you could clearly tell there was something going on. When you look at the fungicide treated as compared with the non-fungicide treated control, much open, the canopy is much more open. You don't see that with 1252, hardly, I mean, I can't see any difference between them. 1538, very similar, and a little bit more leaf shed in the Fiberbacks 1944, looking into the plot as the control as compared with the fungicide treated plot. So overall, I mean, the disease development in 2015 in this test followed a pattern that we normally would see. Showed up in late July. Basically, by the first week or so of September, disease development stopped, except in phytogen 499. We still saw a little bit of a bump in defoliation up through the 15th of September. But basically, in our area, when we transition from a summertime pattern where you have high humidities and particularly high temperatures at night to going into the early to mid-September, we see the humidities drop off a good bit and the temperatures at night start falling down into the lower 60s. And when we see that transition, that pretty well puts the kibosh on any more target spot spread. 499 had the highest level of defoliation that's been seen in the past. I've not had DPL 1538 before, but it and some of the other varieties did look very good. I don't know whether you can call it resistance. These varieties are less susceptible is probably a better way to put it. Final defoliation ADPC were reduced with the fungicide programs in all varieties except 1137, and I've used 1137 in some other trials, and you will get a reduction in disease with the fungicide, but it's questionable whether you really ever see a much of a yield loss in that variety due to this disease. We did get a bump when gin out in yield with the fungicide program, but this is one additional application beyond what we would normally do in a farmer's field. But so I was trying more for reducing disease rather than boosting yields. Here's your highest gin out rate, highest yields, and the yield gain on 499 at 260 pounds, the value of that would be, if you the value of the loss was $169 an acre, and then with Fibermax 1944 is about 201 pounds lost and valued at $137, and that's at 65 cents a pound. So, I mean, it clearly shows that on some varieties we have a potential for yield loss to this disease. There are other varieties, in fact, a lot of them, where even though we get a moderate amount of defoliation, we're not probably not going to see a yield loss. Certainly, this is a study that needs to be continued to see how these varieties perform under different conditions at different locations in the state of Alabama. And so we'll see what we get next year. So if there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Time for questions.
Austin, would you characterize last year as moderate target spot pressure, high?
I would qualify it as high. We generally had particularly in some areas, drier weather patterns during most of the summer. So we didn't see as much of it in 2015. The worst years were 2012 and 2013, and it was vicious. But there still were individual fields that got chewed up pretty badly.
Thank you.